So, how are you at following instructions? You see, Patty turned to David back there. David, how are you at following instructions? You think you follow instructions pretty well? It depends, okay. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but in high school, first day of the school year, we had a teacher. I think I remember the teacher, I'm not positive, but she handed out a test and said, look, we're gonna have a little test, and this is just to see how the year is gonna go. Everybody, take the test, and then we'll get into our class. And I start looking, and the very first thing says, make sure you read every question before you start answering them. So I just kind of look over, okay, look down the page, yeah, okay, I looked them all over, start number 2, 3, 4, 5, and as I'm answering question 6, I look around and I see people turning their paper over, setting their pencil down. How did they get through all those answers? Like 7, 8, 9, 10, and people are just sitting there looking at the teacher, and I feel a little funny. And I look down to the bottom of the page, and it says, now that you've read all the instructions, sign your name and date the paper, turn it over, and set your pencil down. I was not too good at following instructions. And my wife might say, I still have that characteristic. But there's some instructions that I received at a challenging time in my life that I have followed. 46 years ago, last month, I was a sophomore in college. And my dad, I received a phone call that my dad was taken to the hospital. And this was the second time that I remembered my dad being taken to the hospital, and things did not seem good. And I started thinking and praying, you know, how is my life going to change? Am I going to need to quit college? Go home, get my job back, help with things in my family, do what needs to be done. And I went to see Claire Hicks. Claire Hicks was one of the teachers at our college, Philadelphia College of Bible, and he was my faculty advisor. And as I shared with him what was happening, and he prayed with me about what kind of decisions I would have to make, he challenged me and said, Don, you will find in your lifetime that you will face difficult situations. And I would encourage you to pick one book out of the Bible or one special passage so that when you get hit with some tough challenges, you have a place to land. You have a place to go. Well, that week, Philippians became that book for me, 46 years and a month ago. And I added to Philippians an Old Testament book, being the book of Isaiah. And somewhere in the last 20 years or so, I added Psalm 119. So I want to take you to one of my landing passages in Psalm 119. Verse 1 says, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. I don't think there's many days in my life that I have been blameless. But because of what God is able to do in my life, And because of his forgiveness and redemption, I am blameless. And recognizing my place, it challenges me to walk according to the law of the Lord. Verse 11 is one probably most of us memorized. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we know that the more we pour his word into our life, when we're confronted with sin, the more likely we will have the strength to overcome it. And just so you're aware, 176 verses in the book, all but two of them have one of these words in. Two words for word in Hebrew, other words for law, judgment, testimony, command, statutes, precepts, all pointing to the Word of God. And we're going to jump off today recognizing that all of God's words are true, and your righteous laws are eternal. There are not many things that we think about that are eternal. You know, we think about the Thanksgiving dinner coming up. Phil Toomey informed me, you know, for Thanksgiving get-togethers, it's recommended you limit your Thanksgiving get-together to two families. However, memorial services can have 30 people. So for our small group, Peggy's making a turkey breast and we're making a turkey breast. So we have a memorial service planned for those two turkeys so we can have 60 people there. Wow. God's word is righteous and eternal. And Psalm 119, verse 5, reminds us that your word is a lamp for my feet. And we're going to go to that 8-verse section, starting Psalm 119, verse 105. And I would like you to read the even number verses. I'm going to read on the screen the odd verses and ask you to read together the even verses. And let's read them together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances.
I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word.
O accept the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, to teach me your ordinances.
My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law.
The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts.
I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart.
I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end.
Each of these verses, we're going to pick some one thing out of. Verse 5, 105, is the thought that perfect direction for our life comes from the Word of God. It's a perfect direction. You know, and that's true in the big things in life, and it's true in the little things. He provides a perfect direction. Last Sunday, I think all of you were here and got to meet Tim and Lisa McRatney. Tim is a former next-door neighbor of mine. He was involved in the leadership at Jonestown Bible Church alongside of me, and a sincere friend. This week, Friday night, actually it was Saturday morning at 1 o'clock, my phone rings. And I look over and I see who's calling and I press the button. And 4 minutes later, it rings again. And I, okay, I get up And Cynthia's nephew and friend are driving from Ohio to Pennsylvania to their home in Bucks County. And I get informed they just hit a deer and their radiator's broken. And can I come get them? And that's an hour and a half away. And I'm there, no, let me think about this and I'll call you back in a few minutes. And I prayed, Lord, what can I do? I really don't feel like if I drive up there, I'm going to be able to do anything anyway. It's the middle of the night. What can I do? And I think about Tim McBratney. Tim, who spoke last Sunday, lives 3 miles away from the sheets where Wayne's truck was. And I call Tim at 1:05 in the morning, and he sees the number, and he didn't press the button. He answered. And, but he says, Don, it's 1 in the morning, what can I do for you? I'm glad you asked that. And you know, the provision of God's word being a lamp to my feet and a light to my path is something that when we get hit with things, we need to ask him for the direction he wants us to go. And he will give us perfect direction. He, not only did Tim go out and find what was wrong and, you know, make arrangements for Wayne and Tasha to sleep in the truck in the parking lot sheets until the morning when things would be opening up. Tim drove back home and he said, Don, we're parting out one of my son's trucks. It's a 1990 and I just found the radiator for it and ended up that the radiator and the headlight was there. And in the morning, Tim and John helped Wayne put those on and they were on their way. We're starting at Psalm 105, but we really need to look back to Psalm 102, 3 and 4. Because the foundation for knowing that his word will direct us comes from what the psalmist says, I have not departed from your laws, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words in my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. We're going to come back to hating the wrong path a little later. But the foundation from each of these sections, if we were to read all of them today, and we are not, we'd see the foundation building from one to the other. Verse 106 says, I have sworn and will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. Now, when we swear something and confirm something, you know, that's really taken as, that's the way it is. I was really happy a few weeks ago, Frank, confirmed something to me. I had given the illustration of the movie, The Great Escape. And he came up and he said, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so were the only two guys to make it out. And I said, no, they weren't the ones. He said, oh yeah, I'm sure it is. I'll confirm it with a steak dinner. Well, I'm looking forward to that steak dinner.
Just won't let him know. And,
you know, Judy has told me in the past that Frank is competitive. And I realized he really is competitive. You know, he swore that he was right. You know, in our lives, the psalmist says, I swear and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. In a minute, we're going to see he knows he's not too good at that. He's kind of like Frank. No, I mean, he's not too good at that. Look at what it says. A sworn confirmation. You know, the New Testament brings us to a sworn confirmation that Jesus gave to his disciples right before he returned to heaven. Matthew 28, starting at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Now Matthew is writing this. How did Matthew know that some of them were doubtful? You know, I really believe that Matthew was probably one of the doubtful ones. He had not walked with Jesus as long as many of the other disciples did. But he goes on and records, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And the fact that our system sometimes blank out is why I have something right here. It's up again, okay. But I'm ready if it falls. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is a sworn confirmation that Jesus challenged his disciples with. Are you and I completely assured that we have confirmed our plan to make disciples of Jesus Christ? Verse 107, "I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word." You know, I don't think he's talking about an affliction physical. I think he's talking about the afflictions that the psalmist experienced in life, having his own sons turn against him, try to kill him, take over his throne, having had King Saul come after him. Yeah, he was afflicted repeatedly in his life. And how afflicted was he when he arranged the death of his general so that he could cover the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba? The affliction is not a physical one, but it's an affliction that he says, "Revive me according to your word." Sin is what brought the affliction into David's life. Sin brings affliction into your life and my life. Zig Ziglar was a promotional Christian inspirational teacher in the last century. And he makes a statement that every obnoxious act is a cry for help. Every obnoxious act is a cry for help. Bill shared a situation on the basketball court. When was that? Last Saturday, Sunday or Monday?
I don't know. I did 15 games since then.
Okay. And the coach or player said something about that being a terrible call or, you know, whatever.
Called you a clown.
Called you a clown. That's what it was. Called you a clown. And you know, I, having been a basketball official, know that, okay, you know, you just got yourself a technical. Come again and you'll be out of the gym. I only ever had to have one mother ejected from any event that I umpired or refereed or... Anyway, but every obnoxious act is a cry for help. And you know, whether it's on a basketball court where they want help for their team, yeah. But within the body of Christ, when there are times and things that cause division within the church, there are cries for help. And the answer for the cries to help are found in the ordinances of God's word. Verse 108 says, building on that, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. You know, we sang several songs about praising the Lord today. We sang about thanking the Lord. And those are freewill offerings from our mouth. But I think the psalmist is looking for more offerings than just that. This week, every other Tuesday or Wednesday now, I deliver books to Huntington, Pennsylvania. And one of the people who advertises in that book was a fellow who I worked very closely with for 3 years, spent a lot of time with, planted a lot of seed of the Word of God in his life. And it's been a challenge for him. He's never come to the point of trusting Christ as a Savior. Well, this week I had a call from him that they were pulling out. They weren't going to advertise in the book. And I said, that's fine, you know. I understand that you know, it's not getting ads for you. And it was really his partner who said, we have to stop this. So when I got there this Tuesday night, Arnie wasn't there, but his partner Jack was. So I came in and talked with Jack for a while. And while I'm standing there, I say, you know, I'm really glad to see that there's a well-worn Bible sitting here on your desk. And he said, yep, every day, whatever the date is, the 15th, I will read that chapter of Proverbs. Every day I do, early in my morning here at work, a chapter in the book of Proverbs. And we began to talk. I sat down, and as we continued to talk, he shared how Jack Van Impe, who was an evangelist that I grew up around, spoke in my church often, came to Johnstown, spoke at the arena for a three-day crusade. Jack Van Impe was a unique evangelist, used of God. He played the accordion, and he was good. And then he also, while he preached his message while he was doing chalk art. And it was just the strength and the tools that Jack Van Impe had. And on that day, Jack Williams' dad worked in maintenance at the arena in Johnstown. And he heard and listened to the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, the free will offerings in our mouth, from our mouth, sometimes come when we commit to sharing Christ with somebody. Arnie is a person I've committed to sharing Christ with. As I sat there with Jack and we talked for 45 plus minutes, he shares his real desire in this business is that Arnie would come to know Christ. And we shared together for that time that his selling cars is not really what's important. It's whether or not the gospel is given. Jack just shared with me how his son-in-law, 6 weeks before that, had trusted Christ as a Savior and was just baptized. And his son-in-law has said some things to him about, well, you work a whole lot harder in this business than Arnie does. Why does he get paid the same amount you do? And he shared with his son, it's not about making money. Selling cars for him is about pointing people to Jesus Christ. The free will offering of our mouth is that we should have a perfect offering, and that we understand Christ teaches us through his word so that we can learn how to point people to Christ. Verse 109 says, my life is continually in your hands. No, it's not an Allstate commercial. My life is continually in my hand. Remember when I talked about earlier about not making the best decisions? The simple fact is, in my life, I make a lot of imperfect choices. I work very hard to make good choices. I plan things weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. Pastor Chris has said, like, Bill juggles a lot of plates. And for years, Chris has said, all the plates that I spin and juggle all at the same time. Now, Bill, you're kind of in comparison with Chris, and he sees us spinning lots of things. In the course of making all those choices, can I tell you, I have made a lot of bad choices. But when I make the bad choices, hopefully I learn from them how to make the good choice the next time. His word guides us into making those kinds of choices. Comes back to verse 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. David just said, I made a lot of bad choices. But now he says, the wicked. And recognize that the wicked include unsaved people, saved people, family. They're not wicked because they choose to be wicked. I am a wicked individual. Until God's word and his Holy Spirit convicts me of sin, and I confess it, and I deal with it. The wickedness is what seed sin has placed into our lives. And there have been plenty of snares set for us. But the psalmist said, I have not gone away from your precepts. Adversaries should never keep us from following the truth. One of the things that I enjoy as I read in history, the lives of different people like Abraham Lincoln, I read times in his life when the adversaries and traps are all great, but they made the choice to walk in truth, the truth that comes from the Word of God. And I believe it was John Lennon who said this. Now, I don't have a lot of respect necessarily for John Lennon, but I think he got this right, if in fact what I read said it came from him. The truth has never denied the seeker. It is the seeker who has denied the truth. God's word is truth. And if you and I seek the truth to follow it, the truth will always be true. But if we say, ah, that's really not truth for me, we deny the truth. Adversaries should never keep us from following the truth. That's true in your home life. It's true in our church life. It's true where we work. Follow the truth. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. You know, most inheritances are joyful. Now, maybe someday some people get an inheritance where they inherit the family business. I had the opportunity a number of years ago of hearing a member of the Coors family share his testimony of following Christ. And having made that decision, he made the decision that he could not stay in the family business. How would it be to inherit a business that you didn't want to have any part of? That's not the kind of inheritance God's word is. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. You know, the neat thing about receiving a perfect inheritance that brings joy is that you take it out. You take out a withdrawal today, and tomorrow it's just as full. Elise Fitzpatrick is a counselor, especially to women, involved in women's ministry for the past 30 years. She says, our inheritance is being kept for us while we're being kept by him. You see, it's his word that is truth that keeps us. The inheritance is always full. We take some out today, tomorrow it's just as full. Because he's keeping the perfect inheritance that brings joy. And the last verse, I have inclined your heart, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. David wasn't perfect in performing the statutes of God. I like that he used the word, I inclined my heart to perform your statutes. And as we experience his perfect direction, that's where he started verse 105 in. He comes to the end of the stanza and he confirms it. The perfect direction for your life is all the way to the end, forever. And I think Paul confirms this. Paul confirms it by saying, in Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Ron Coombs was a missionary who, with his wife Lois and their two sons, lived on an island town in the Amazon River, the town of Comita. The day after Christmas, I think it was 1971, but it was the day after Christmas. Ron and Lois and their two boys went out to have their own Christmas together. Took a boat, their boat that they used in the ministry, went down to another small island. They were swimming, enjoying a lunch, and Christmas Day on the Amazon is a little different than Christmas in Seven Valleys. As the tide increased of the Amazon, the boys actually got pulled away from the little island they were on. And Ron got Lois into the boat. She brought the boat around. He swam. He helped both of the boys get up into the boat. And as he went to climb up into the boat, his heart stopped. It was several days before Ron's body was found. And I remember Lois telling me, she was praying, "Lord, just please let us find his body and bury him. You know, in the Amazon, there's plenty of things that would devour. I saw the largest anaconda in the wild, just probably 3-4 miles from there. Not the largest one ever, the largest one that I saw. On Ron's tombstone in the town of Kamita, where he's buried, as a testimony to the people he went to share Christ with, it's this verse: "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I hope that that's the confirmation of the direction of your life today. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of walking in your presence today, and of knowing each and every day that you desire to accomplish through the truth of your word that which only you can accomplish. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us and works in us and is able to show us how to apply all the truth of your word. And we ask that you would allow us to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.